You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We've got guests in the studio right now. Kia ora, David Farrier. How are you?
Kia ora. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you in the studio. Last couple of times we've chatted has been, you know, in the midst of the pandemic, on the phone.
Yeah, it's never as good as it is being in this beautiful studio.
Yeah, the glamorous halls of BFM.
I love it.
To talk about a very bonkers, pretty intense, pretty incredible bit of filmmaking you've been working on. Mr. Organ,
yeah, it's out this Thursday, and it is a really weird film. It took me way longer to make than I expected. It was meant to take about 2 years, and it took five. Oof. And it started with that sort of bonkers clamping in Ponsonby, where this clamper was charging, I think his top price was $760 for hour's parking. So he was kind of, I'd always walk past Bashford Antiques, and there was always drama. There were police cars there, people yelling,
wow.
The clamper being like, get me cash. And so
wow.
I love drama, and I sort of thought, what's going on here? And as I sort of poked more into who the clamper was, aka Mr. Organ, it just got weirder and weirder.
Yeah, so this is one of those stories where there's something so specific and local about the way it started that I found it really exciting to see it kind of blow up to the big screen, because yeah. you've got, you know, fans all around the world who follow your work post, you know, Webworm and Dark Tourism, and you know, the sort of work that you've been doing has now reached all these audiences, and yet this one, this very strange story, is from literally just up the road.
Oh, it's so specific.
Yeah,
it's like, it's funny to think I made something like Tickled was all in like New York and LA, and Dark Tourist you're in like Chernobyl and stuff, and I didn't even go to Chernobyl, I just made that up. Went for Kazakhstan. They had a big atomic lake there.
Yeah.
And this is so local and so specific. It's like a little like Ponsonby clash between the Ponsonby people and this antique store. And it's so local. And yet, you know, and my big worry, because I showed it at some festivals in the United States, and I was worried that they wouldn't get it. They'd just be like, this is too New Zealand. But that's kind of what made it.
Yeah.
They're like, this is so weird and so odd. We're really into it.
I think it's one of those films I think people would want to go in kind of as cold as they can in a lot of ways. So we'll try not to spoil what actually happens in it, but it has been quite the roller coaster experience for you on and off screen. Where do you even start untangling what's been happening in Mr. Organ? Because he's not sort of left your life necessarily.
No, he's been on the phone to a lot of cinemas, because we're in about 50 cinemas around New Zealand. So he's been on the phone. They're listed on the Mr. Organ website. So he's sort of been through, I think, that list, and he's calling cinemas trying to get them to stop the film playing. And he's kind of, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Awkwardly, some stuff I can't talk about because it's involves the law and it gets really weird, and I have to be careful what I say, because, you know, I don't think Mr. Organ probably wants the film to be playing. I'm super curious if he's going to turn up at the premiere tonight.
Exciting.
And it's been so weird. And since I've been back in New Zealand, it's just been weird, weird, weird.
Because you have been over in the States pretty much for the bulk of the pandemic and the time that has been sort of passing since we last saw you in Aotearoa. What's been going on, and how have you been managing, I guess, working on what we've just discussed is a very specifically New Zealand story from afar?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of left New Zealand because to get away from Mr. Organ, like that was sort of part of leaving. And I had a job opportunity come up in America that promptly fell over, but that was my ticket to get away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of knew when I left that the border was pretty dicey and I might not be able to get back, but I was just like, I've got to get out.
Mm.
So it was when it came to coming back, I couldn't. I kind of got rescued by Dax Shepherd over there, who let me do a weekly podcast under his sort of podcast network, Armchair Expert. And so I do this weekly show over there. And while I was doing that, it was all sort of post-production stuff on Mr. Organ. So I have a really incredible team back in New Zealand. Like, editor Dan Kircher knows this film as well as I do.
Yeah.
And he was in New Zealand over pandemic time. Just when we'd work remotely, he's incredible. And we sort of would polish it off. All the shooting was done as I left New Zealand. It was like my final shoot day. Right, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And all the posts just kept happening while I was gone, just because I have a really good, beautiful team here.
That's what you want. People you just know, understand the language you're trying to work
with.
Yeah,
there's like
five
key people worked on this, and they were small, but they were dedicated. And it feels, I honestly, at some points during making it, I didn't think it would come out because it was just too fucking hard, you know?
Yeah.
But like, so the fact it's actually out this week feels crazy. Like, I feel so elated because I didn't think that was going to happen.
Sometimes when documentaries are made or when films are made where they sort of come from life, there's this sort of sense that by the time the movie comes out, it's a closed chapter, Everything's moved on, that's like history now. It's almost like a story. This is a strange one, I think, even as an audience, because the story's still playing out in lots of ways. If anyone's on Twitter, they've probably seen parts of it. You know, there's a lot kind of happening still that feels like the tail end of this. And this is kind of something that seems to be often happens with your work.
It's my curse.
It's your curse,
yeah,
David.
I'd love to wrap up a documentary and to have like the bow tied and like a prison door shut or something, you know, and it's like the end. But in all of my documentaries, I'm left with having to put title cards up at the end, like end cards saying, like explaining what is kind of happening now. And yeah, it's still ongoing. I mean, there's a whole lot of weird stuff happening on Twitter that, again, I can't really talk too specifically. But it's like some people have accused it of me of sort of doing some elaborate marketing, like an alternate reality game where all these characters are popping up.
Wow.
But it's not. It's all these real people are out of the woodwork, you know, and they're all on Twitter arguing. And it's almost like it's kind of horrific what's going on, but it's also kind of good publicity for the film. Like a lot of people out there. I mean, we're opening the same week as a tiny indie film called Black Panther 2.
Never heard of it.
You know, it's a lot of noise to get through, and I want people to see Black Panther 2, but I hope people also kind of see this. So the craziness around the film, at least it helps maybe tell people about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also you're not afraid of tackling strange stories that do have these jagged, weird edges to them.
They're the best. I couldn't think of anything worse than making a documentary where every participant was a wonderful human and everyone wanted to say how good their lives were, and you're like, wow, your life, that would just be so boring. So I love the jagged stuff.
You also have been doing a lot of really amazing journalism around Arise Church and some mega church kind of complexes as well, and you've been, I know kind of diving into that conversation since you've been back in New Zealand as well. What, that's been a massive can of worms. Where are you at with like that whole process at the moment for yourself?
I landed in New Zealand late last week, and the second night I was here, I put on like a live webworm event where it was like 500 people in a room, and we had a panel. Kitty Allen ran the whole thing, and we just broke down the megachurch reporting that webworm had done. And yeah, I mean, that, you know, I started webworm 2 years ago now, but I think the last year of reporting on Arise Church with my colleague Hayden Donnell, it kind of showed me the power of what a newsletter can be. I thought I could affect change with that, but the way it spread and it ended up being, you know, other newsrooms picked up on it. It was like the lead story on both news channels. It was everywhere. And, you know, the story is still ongoing. Arise Megachurch is kind of split into different factions. The Auckland one shut down. The leaders have both resigned and sort of they're off to Australia. They're sort of fleed over there. So I'll just keep reporting on it on WebBrum. And the joy of running our own newsletter is I can report on whatever I want, whenever I want. And it's not like a story ends. And I think, like what you're saying about the documentary, stories don't end.
No.
Like, there isn't, in real life, there isn't a pretty bow on the end. And Arise will keep going. And Mr. Organ will keep going. But what I have so far is a document of what has happened to date. And I feel really proud of that.
Totally. And it's been, you know, really great, really great to be able to follow along with these stories through Webworm, which has, I think the last time we talked to you about Webworm was when it very, very first started. And I think the idea was quite different back then. It was a sort of a fun pandemic venting space.
It was like a quirky, yes, like I'm stuck inside in my flat in Grey Lynn. Work on Mr. Organ had kind of paused because we couldn't really shoot during that time. And so, it was going to be an outlet for like quirk and strangeness. And but pretty quickly I realized that, you know, it's the perfect format to write about bigger stories because you can lay the groundwork. It's not like if I was writing in a print piece, you almost have to do it all at once.
Yeah.
Like, here's the big story. Beginning, middle, end.
Totally.
With a newsletter, you can like lay the groundwork and do it. And that's how a lot of my work was sort of heading towards, even with the Mr. Organ when I was writing about it for the spin-off. Mm-hmm. There were like 6 installments of that story.
Yeah.
And I really liked the idea of doing installments and building on something. And that's what Webrims kind of turned into. And I couldn't have reported on Arise without having about 15 editions of the story rolling
out.
Because you can't just do it in one piece. It's too crazy and it's too weird.
Mm, totally. And I think that is a real hallmark of your journalism and your filmmaking across the board. And I think if people like Webworm, if they've been interested in that type of storytelling, they're absolutely going to be interested in Mr. Organ tonight. Also, anybody who's seen any of your films or your previous sort of television work, this is definitely something for them. It is one of those films, try not to know about it, just go in.
Totally.
So it premieres tonight and then Thursday.
It premieres, Thursday. It's open in about 55 cinemas across New Zealand. If, you know, call your cinema if you don't see the tickets listed. Cinemas are so lazy at like uploading the tickets for sale on their website. If you it's out on Thursday. If you don't see it on your local website, just call them and be like, I want tickets for Mr. Organ. Let me in.
Yes.
And they'll sort you out.
Cool. Excellent. David Ferry, thank you for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
Best of luck with this next step. I hope it goes nice and smoothly.
Same. We'll see. We can always dream.
We'll get some good stories out of it at least.
Exactly.
Thank you for coming in this morning.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.